Lord God, Heavenly Father, let your name be glorified. Draw us to yourself by the power of your Holy Spirit, through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our study today is the second account from Samson, from Judges chapter 16. I would invite you to follow along as we read again this long section from Samson's life. It begins with Samson going down from his hometown in Zora, 50 miles down to Gaza, to consort with a prostitute. One day Samson went to Gaza, where he saw a prostitute. He went in to spend the night with her. The people of Gaza were told, "Samson is here." So they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the city gate. They made no move during the night, saying, "At dawn we'll kill him." But Samson lay there only until the middle of the night. Then he got up and took hold of the doors of the city gate, together with the two posts, and tore them loose, bar and all. He lifted them to his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. Sometime later, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. So Sorek is very close to his hometown. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, "See if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength, and how we can overpower him, so we may tie him up and subdue him. Each one of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver." So Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me the secret of your great strength, and how you can be tied up and subdued." Samson answered her, "If anyone ties me with 7 fresh bowstrings that have not been dried, I'll become as weak as any other man." Then the rulers of the Philistines brought her 7 fresh bowstrings that had not been dried, and she tied him with them. With men hidden in the room, she called out to him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." But he snapped the bowstrings as easily as a piece of string snaps when it is close to a flame. So the secret of his strength was not discovered. Then Delilah said to Samson, "You've made a fool of me. You lied to me. Come now, tell me how you can be tied." He said, "If anyone ties me securely with new ropes that have never been used, I'll become as weak as any other man." So Delilah took new ropes and tied him with them. Then with men hidden in the room, she called to him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." But he snapped the ropes off his arms as if they were threads. Delilah then said to Samson, "All this time you have been making a fool of me and lying to me. Tell me how you can be tied." He replied, "If you weave the 7 braids of my head into the fabric on the loom and tighten it with the pin, I'll become as weak as any other man." So while he was sleeping, Delilah took the 7 braids of his head, wove them into the fabric, and tightened it with the pin. Again she called to him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." He woke from his sleep and pulled up the pin and the loom with the fabric. Then she said to him, "How can you say, 'I love you,' when you won't confide in me? This is the 3rd time you have made a fool of me and haven't told me the secret of your great strength." With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was sick to death of it. So he told her everything. "No razor has ever been used on my head," he said, "because I have been a Nazarite, dedicated to God from my mother's womb. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as any other man." When Delilah saw that he had told her everything, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines, "Come back once more. He has told me everything." So the rulers of the Philistines returned with the silver in their hands. After putting him to sleep on her lap, she called for someone to shave off the 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him. And his strength left him, Then she called, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." He awoke from his sleep and thought, "I'll go out as before and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza. Isn't this the sad irony that the lesson ends with Samson back in Gaza? The Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza. Binding him with bronze shackles, they set him to grinding grain in the prison. But the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. This is the word of the Lord. Last week, when we looked at Samson, it was easy to look at him in disgust. A hot-tempered womanizer. This time, we just kind of shake our heads. What a fool! Delilah says, "You've made a fool of me," but Samson is the fool in this lesson. What kind of fool goes 50 miles into enemy territory to consort with a prostitute? What kind of fool doesn't see that Delilah is not looking out for his best interests? Samson is a fool. But it's not a surprise. Samson was genetically predispositioned to be a fool. His parents were fools, and he inherited folly from his parents. His parents had everything, but then a snake spoke to his mom. And Adam and Eve showed themselves to be fools as they made a foolish decision to step away from God and believe Satan. Samson's parents, his ancestors, Adam and Eve, are the same parents that you and I have. It's easy to read an account like this and go, "Samson, you are a fool." But it is much harder for us to recognize that we follow in the same footsteps as Samson, that we also have folly bound up in our hearts because we are genetically predispositioned to folly. We have inherited a sinful nature just like Samson. Samson, he began to take small steps towards his destruction because he knew that the warnings didn't apply to him. He didn't have to be afraid of going down right into the heart of the Philistine territory in Gaza because he was strong enough. And so even though people warned him, he could ignore it. How many of us don't have to admit that we have been foolish that way too? God gives us so many warnings. I've listed a few of them on the back of the worship folder. He warns us, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. But that warning really doesn't apply to us, as perhaps we enjoy some flirtation, we enjoy a lasting, longing look that we know is improper, that we click and click and click into deeper and darker pornography, Does the warning apply to me, to you, or are we too strong? Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. The Apostle Paul was quoting a Greek poet. You don't even have to know the Bible to know this, but how many of us don't say, well, you know, I know that my interaction with this person is not going to build me up, but that's okay, because I'm strong enough. The warnings don't apply to me. Jesus, as he talks about the signs of the end of the world in Matthew 24, says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. The Apostle Paul says something very similar in Ephesians 5. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. But the warnings don't apply to us, because we are strong in the faith, and our love will never grow cold. And the evil around us will not have an impact. And so this book remains relatively unknown territory to most Christians here in the United States. And worship can very easily be trumped by a sporting event, or simply a beautiful day, or a rainy day. Because after all, like Samson, we're strong, and the warnings don't apply to us. Or in Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul writes, in your anger do not sin, do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Oh, that warning doesn't apply to us, does it? But how many footholds are present in this room right now? That there are people that we are angry with, that we're holding grudges toward, and the devil has a foothold in our hearts. But the warning really doesn't apply to us. We can keep that anger in check. And we continue to take small steps away from the Savior and small steps to our own destruction, just like Samson. Oh, we know that we can always stop. That was certainly Samson's thought. I'll always have the strength to stop. He enjoys playing with Delilah. He tells her one story after another. He plays her for a fool. But Satan is playing Samson for a fool. And how often doesn't he play us for fools as well? There's this horrible warning, frightening warning, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. If you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Now, if 1 Corinthians chapter 10 doesn't immediately jump into your mind and go, I know what that chapter is all about, guess what? That's your homework. Because as you read through 1 Corinthians chapter 10, you see that the Apostle Paul is talking about God's people who have experienced incredible spiritual blessings just like us, and who took them for granted, and who took small steps away from their God to their destruction. And he says that these were written to warn us. So if you think that you are so strong, be careful that you don't fall. Remember who you're fighting against. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Samson wasn't struggling with the Philistines. Samson wasn't struggling with Delilah. Samson was struggling with Satan. And Satan won. That's true of us too. And what happens when we take those small steps away from the Savior? It's frightening to hear how the author of Hebrews describes it in Hebrews chapter 10. He says,